Psalm 33:8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33:8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33:8. Jude 24. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you in my eye. Psalm 32:8. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin this service. We're here, of course, to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to tell you very quickly that we're moving on to the next verse, even though I've not completed all that I prepared to present from verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 1. One of the things that I would encourage you to do is to get on the internet and go to the subject of glory, because I had planned to present information in the last session on the subject of glory, a beautiful, magnificent subject. If you'll notice that we have, for instance, in the verse that we just read a few moments ago, that it talks about glory. And I plan to do that later in the week. As I was preparing, I came to the three tenses, and that's the reason why that was given. And the word glory is presented to you on the internet, if you would please go and find it. Ephesians 1:13 is our verse. I would like to read preceding verses, but I'm just going to ask you to do me a favor. Let's look at this verse, and then we'll have prayer together. Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Father, thank you for the opportunity now to look at this magnificent verse. Our hearts are continually blessed as we open the Bible and find what you have to say to all of our hearts. We're the recipients of these magnificent truths, and we thank you that we have the inspired Word of God. We're thankful that we are able to study, and that's our reason now for being here again, to look upon these specific spiritual words that will bring such great blessing to our hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 1:13. We're dealing in this session with the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest subjects that I can share with you today is this magnificent subject of the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Over the years, we have dealt with a number of subjects related to the Holy Spirit: the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. All of these things deal with this magnificent subject of the Holy Spirit. So today we deal with the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, if you will, please, that I have on the screen for you to see Ephesians 1:13. It says, in whom also ye have trusted, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I underlined, and I didn't particularly bring that passage with me, but I underlined words. When I look at a passage like this, what happens to me, first of all, I look for the verbs, and I look for specific words that relate to spiritual subjects, doctrines of the Word of God. When I looked at this, I found the word akouo, which means the responsibility that we have to hear, to listen to the Word of God. I kept on going here, and I found the word aletheos, which is the word for truth. So that was a powerful word for me. I went on to find euangelion, which is the word for gospel, and that jumped out. And so what I did a few moments ago, I took this verse, and I didn't particularly bring that copy with me. I underlined in green these words that are so powerful, like akouo, like truth, like gospel, like soterios, the salvation. The word believing, pistuo. I looked at the word that means sealing, and I felt like there's no way that this preacher can deal with all of those magnificent words in this particular verse of Scripture. It is so out. It's outstanding. It is far out. And so what I had to do is just to narrow myself. I had to say, preacher, calm down. You can't preach it all. So just calm down and pick one word in this magnificent verse and deal with that subject. And that's the reason why we're dealing with the subject, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you very quickly, and I'm going to try to do this because I've been trying to tell myself, you ought to be able to get things over in about 30 minutes or 35. And so I'm going to try to practice what I've been trying to preach to myself. So I wanted you to see that there's no way that I can present this magnificent subject unless I do it rapidly. So you're going to have to listen attentively and carefully, take down notes if you like, but we're going to deal with this beautiful, magnificent subject of the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. I only take the B part of the verse, which says, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's what I want you to underline in your Scripture. Write some notes, please, and understand that there are many people today who are individuals who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they have no biblical concept of the subject of security. And as a result of that, they're continually punching panic buttons, wondering whether or not they're going to go to heaven, because they're not sure whether they're going to go to heaven depending upon their abilities. And all of them should have known that they're not going to get to heaven because of their abilities, their goodness, their badness, whatever. People don't understand, and they feel like that Jesus Christ died for their sins. They've been saved, but now they've been lost because they disobeyed in some way, some sin that they felt like was so bad, it took them away from their salvation. So you see how frustrating this would be to individuals? Also, they don't realize the fact that if Jesus Christ died for your sins, you trust Him, and then you're lost after you're saved, then Jesus would need to go to the cross and die on the cross again for the sins of the world. It's frustrating because people don't comprehend what the Bible says. The important thing is for me now to let you see very quickly that Ephesians 1:13, the B part of the verse, says, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we're going to exegete that in a little more detail in a few moments, maybe, if I can get to it. But I want you to see what I've concluded. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In other words, when a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit is given as the earnest, which is the down payment, on our inheritance. Now I'm going to pause and let you think about what I've just said. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit is given as the down payment of our inheritance. When we came to Baytown in 1966, we didn't have any better sense than to have all of our furniture put in a 18-wheeler and brought to Baytown. We didn't have a house to live in. Here we are in Baytown with an 18-wheeler with all of our stuff with no house to put it. And so we had to deal with that situation. We stayed at the old Holiday Inn at first, and then one of the deacons of the church invited us to live in their home, which we did for a couple of weeks while we were in the process of trying to find a place to live. One of our deacons in the church was a builder, and he had two homes on Clayton Drive, and one of those homes was larger than the one we selected because it was about $2,000 more, and we couldn't afford that. We couldn't even afford what we were getting ready to buy. They said, you'll need some earnest money, a down payment. So we didn't have money for down payment, and we certainly didn't have money other than to pay payments on the house. So here's what we told the bank, and the bank was very good to us. We said, up in Denison, on Lake Texoma, some years ago, we bought a little cottage, a little house on Lake Texoma. And I said, I'm willing to put this little house down as a down payment. But I realized that little lake houses don't sell in the wintertime. And they said, you know what we'll do? We need, I think it was $2,500. Listen, this was a lot of money back there in 66. I think they needed $2,400 to $2,500. And they said, what we'll do, we'll take that as the earnest money, the down payment. And when it sells, that'll pay that off, and then you can just be making the payments. Now, houses on the lake don't sell that well in the wintertime, but God was in charge, and this one did sell, and we had that down payment paid off. So then we set up the loan for 20 years, and back then, 1980-something, that house was bought and paid for. All I'm trying to do is to point out the fact that here, when a person accepts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is given as the down payment, earnest money, of our inheritance. Now, let's take the points quickly. Hold your hat, let's go. The sealing of the Holy Spirit belongs to every born-again believer. It's not just to some special few. The sealing of the Holy Spirit belongs to every saved individual. The sealing takes place at the moment of salvation, and the believer is never unsealed. It's powerful for you to get those words in your thinking. This sealing takes place at the moment of salvation, and the believer is never unsealed. Satan is having a heyday because he's keeping a lot of people frustrated in order to let them know whether they don't know for sure whether they're saved or not, depending upon their activities of life. Now, if you're depending upon your activities of life, what you think, what you say, what you do, I promise you, you're going to find yourself falling short of God's glory. So, please understand that this is Satan's method, one of Satan's greatest methods of leading people to have the concept of not understanding or appreciating or believing the eternal security of the believer. Now, I'm being powerful on that because I want you to see how Satan is so destructive in the minds of individuals to keep them confused and frustrated in relationship to salvation. The sealing ministry takes place at the moment of salvation, and the person is never unsealed. Number two, the sealing is not dependent upon behavior. The sealing is not dependent upon behavior. Never in the Bible are we exhorted and commanded to be sealed. Now, notice what I'm saying. Never in the Bible are we exhorted or commanded to be sealed. If you're sealed, why would you be commanded again to be sealed? If you're sealed, you're sealed. We're admonished to be filled, but not sealed. If you go to Ephesians 5:18, what do you find? You find a verb in the imperative mood, a command. We are commanded to be filled. we're not commanded to be sealed. You receive that sealing at the point of salvation. Number five, the sealing of the Holy Spirit follows automatically with our being born again. Now, please let me reiterate these five points. Number one, the sealing takes place at the moment of salvation, and the believer is never unsealed. Number two, the sealing ministry is not dependent upon behavior. Number three, never in the Bible are we commanded to be sealed or exhorted to be sealed. Number four, we're admonished to be filled, commanded to be filled but not sealed. Number five, the sealing of the Holy Spirit follows automatically with our being born again. Paul told the Corinthians that he could not write unto them as unto spiritual. The Greek word is pneumatikos, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I wish I had time to go into great detail on all these particular Greek words, but I want you to see that the Apostle Paul is dealing with a group of people, the Corinthians, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They are the individuals who have difficulty with their old sinful natures, and Paul told them that he could not write unto them as being mature, spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. And the Greek word babe is a napios, which means a sucking bottle, a person sucking on the bottle. So he said, I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes, infants in Christ. To these same folk, in the second letter, the Apostle Paul said, now he who makes firm us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given to us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. Everything I've been saying about this illustration related to our purchasing this house years ago is right here illustrated in beautiful fashion when the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, the second letter to the Corinthians. He says, now who makes firm us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That's found in 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22. If you can't get all the points down, please put the verses down and look them up. Number two, the sealing of the Holy Spirit signifies a finished transaction. Now, if you'll notice the points that we're giving you, each one has specific words that are powerful. Notice, if you will, number one, we'll back up and let you see it. What does it say? It says, the sealing of the Spirit belongs to every saved person. Number two, the sealing of the Spirit signifies a finished, completed transaction. Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, finish it, complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ, the rapture. That's point two. Please put it down. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is a finished transaction. Number three, I'm going rapidly, but please get these major points. The sealing of the Holy Spirit speaks of ownership. No one else in these 52 years, no one else has come to our house and moved in. No one has come and told us to leave because they're moving in. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why? Because Joyce and I, in our family, we purchased that place. And we've had it for all these years. In fact, we're trying to make it even better now. And we've brought in about 30 bags of white marble to make, rocks to put in the backyard to make it look better. What we're trying to do, because we have a fellow who's going to be working with us to keep our yard up, I don't want Joyce, she's been around for a few years. I'm trying to protect her. I don't want her out there pulling grass, and I don't want her out. It just bothers me to be in the house in the air conditioning and watch her mow the yard. She doesn't do that. I'm just trying to let you see that we're past that age. We've got to have someone else. So we're trying to take care of the person who's going to take care of our yards. And we realize that you don't mow where there's white rock. It kills the grass. It takes care of things. It cuts down the amount of work that the yard man has to do. So we're trying to prepare it in such a way that we can have someone doing this. What I'm trying to tell you is that we have ownership of that place. We're thankful for it. We're glad that God has allowed us to have that place. The sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit speaks of ownership. Now, notice please, sealing. Oh, let me stop. Have you ever heard the word escutcheon? Have you ever heard the word escutcheon? Insignia, mark. On Wednesday night, I want to talk about that. So keep that in mind, please. Sealing is the mark or the brand, the insignia of God upon us as a believer. We have an escutcheon. We have a mark of ownership for God on our lives. Jesus asked his disciples, whose insignia is on the coin? Caesar was the reply. And so Jesus said, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and to God that which belongs to God. We're seeing ownership in that presentation in Luke 20, 24 and 25. I won't be any more spend any more time there. Let's look at number four. The sealing of the Holy Spirit speaks of authority. Not only ownership, but authority. In the Old Testament, we read of such mean men as Pharaoh giving to Joseph a ring in Genesis 41, 42. Or the king of Persia giving the ring as a symbol of authority in Esther chapter 8, verse 2, to Mordecai. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read, you shall receive authority, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the extremity of the earth. In that passage of Scripture, it speaks of authority. Paul said to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, 5, and 6, we have been raised together with Christ into a place of responsibility and authority. What I want us to be able to see today is, let's put this straight, what I want us to be able to see today is that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been put in a position of authority. Number five, the sealing of the Spirit signifies security. Security is one of the greatest presentations in the Word of God. Like any biblical subject in God's Word, security can be misrepresented and abused. There are two ways that we could deal with that. One is we know without doubt that we're saved with an eternal security. What is our attitude toward that security? We can have the right attitude because we're properly related to God. Or we can have an improper attitude related to our relationship to the control of our old sinful nature. Like any biblical subject, God's word security can be misrepresented and abused. Number three, on the other hand, we're not to deny ourselves of the blessings of this great biblical conduct, the biblical doctrine, the biblical presentation in the Bible. On the other hand, we're not to deny ourselves of the blessings of this great doctrine of the Bible. Number four. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart, stand away from iniquity. Isn't it interesting that we have 2 Timothy 2:19 presenting this thought? Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having the seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ the beautiful word, stand away from iniquity. Number five, my sheep hear my voice. I quoted this in the previous session. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them life for a day or two. No. I give unto them life until they sin. No. I give unto them life until they go the wrong direction. No. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. How many times over these last 40 some odd years have you heard me say this? I'll say it again. When our children were small, I would walk and I would take the girls, I would take them by the hand with my hand over their hand. I would not let them take their hand up and reach my hand. Because if they were holding onto my hand and they stumbled, they would turn loose and fall. You follow what I'm saying? So I would put my hand over their little hand. And if they stumbled, I just pull them into the air. And we'd keep on going. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Wish I had time to go into a beautiful presentation there of how unique that statement is. I can say this. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God allowed us to be the recipient of the Holy Spirit's protection, the hand of Jesus Christ's protection, the hand of the Father protection. And if there's any way for anyone to get out from under that control, they've got to break aside the power of the Holy Spirit. They have to knock aside the hand of Jesus Christ. They have to knock aside the hand of the Heavenly Father. And if they can do all that, they can have us. Number six, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, that person is redeemed from the guilt of sin, redeemed from the power of sin, as he is controlled, she is controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be redeemed from the very presence of sin at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when we are taken away from this earth and upon the reception of a new, glorified, spiritual resurrection body. Time goes by when you're having fun. I want you to see something. We're sitting in this auditorium today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said this many times, we're only one heartbeat away from eternity. We're only one breath away. We do not know when that heart will beat for its last time. We do not know when that breath will be the last breath. I want you to realize that when that happens to us as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're then going to be the recipient of the presence of our Savior, the magnificent blessings of our eternal God, and we'll be the recipient of a glorified spiritual resurrection body. There are many things about this we do not comprehend, but we know one thing for sure. The Lord says to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. You don't have to worry about how he's going to take care of things because he knows far better about it than we. So he's going to take care of everything. But we do have the assurance that we're going to have a new body. We're going to be in his presence. And we're going to be there for a thousand, a million, a billion eternity. I don't know why we spend so much time thinking about time on the earth when we really need to give some serious consideration to our relationship to the one who's prepared this eternity for us. Did you hear what I just said? We're here for a brief period of time, and we need to give some serious consideration to our relationship to our God and our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that soon we're going to be gone from this earth and we're going to be in his presence forever. So that should give us a different perspective of how we should look upon the time that he allows us here on the earth. To the person hearing my voice today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, your serious consideration should be right now to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God loves you. Christ died for you. Jesus Christ went to the cross to take care of your sins and mine. He gave himself totally for us. He was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. He will save anyone who will trust him. That's the reason the Bible is so plain when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That word whosoever means you. You can put your name right there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I didn't say this. God's Word says it. Christ said it. The Bible presents it to us. He doesn't lie to us. He tells us the truth. So wherever you are, no matter where you are, anywhere in this world, you can accept Jesus right now, right there, at this very moment. Jesus said, I'm the way. Don't try to go any other way. Take the way, the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's beautiful. That's magnificent. That tells me that salvation is Jesus. You can trust him now. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We do not deserve any of these blessings. We do not deserve the fact that we're saved, but we're saved by grace. We do not have the ability within our own energies or strength to lift ourselves into the presence of God. It doesn't come that way. It comes by us accepting that gift, the gift of salvation. So we pray that there will be those at this very moment, wherever they are, whatever their condition is, help them to be able to see that God loves them. That's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Help them be able to see that God loves them. Help them to see how much Jesus Christ loves when he was willing to leave glory, heaven, come to the earth and go to the cross to die for their sins. Help them to see that they can accept you right now and have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus, whosoever shall call. All of these scriptures are so beautiful, magnificent. So we pray that there will be those who will trust you at this very moment. And we thank you over and over again for your matchless grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.